Our guest this hour was born missing his left forearm and hand, but he does not see this as a disability. He sees it as a difference. And you probably have some differences too. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We will talk with the author of the new book, new children's book, Different is Awesome, about why different is awesome. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show if you would like to join in. Ryan Hack, as I mentioned, was born missing his left forearm and hand. He blogs about his experience at livingonehanded.com, and he is the author of the book, Different is Awesome. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
So, Different is Awesome. Tell us how this book came about.
Sure. Well, when I was quite a bit younger, I also have a younger brother who brought me in for show and tell. He didn't bring me to show and tell. He brought me for show and tell.
You were show
and tell. So
there's
a difference, yes. So I got to sit in front of his class, and they just asked me questions about how I do things. It very quickly devolved into what was my favorite movie and TV show. But they did have some questions about how I did different things. You know, how do I tie my shoes is a huge question that I get all the time. And how do I ride a bike? How did I get there? Did I drive a car? And so that story kind of always stuck with me. And then a few years ago, I started this blog and kind of got into this the community of people affected by limb loss and limb difference. And that story kind of came back to life and kind of went from there.
Yeah. And what is your hope for this book?
Yeah, my hope, and it's fun to hear the stories already coming from people who have been reading it. You know, the hope that the book takes you through, you know, the boy brings his brother to class. They get to ask him questions. The illustrations are amazing. They're bright and colorful and show how he does different things, riding a bike, golfing, basketball, you know, just different things like that. But along the way, the kids figure out that they each have something different about them, you know, whether it's they're tall or if they have red hair or they have green eyes or freckles or, you know, things like that. So by the end of the book, the kids all realize there's something different about each of us, and that's something to celebrate. So it ends with a question saying, what makes you awesome? And really my hope is that kids would, A, realize that differences are not something to be afraid of or not something to make fun of, but there's something to celebrate that we all have them, that they really see that they are valuable just the way they are and try to, you know, take ownership of whatever that difference is that they have.
Yeah. So are you getting some responses to the question, what makes you awesome or different?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Getting a lot of them. Some of them are, you know, remember, this is a kid's book.
Yeah.
And so a lot of the kids are saying things that the parent, what I like about it is that it fosters conversation. You know, it gets parents and their kids talking about what makes them different and what makes them awesome. And so some of the answers are, you know, a lot of the audience is affected physically by something, you know, whether it's a missing fingers or a hand or a foot or whatever it happens to be. And they're able to identify with the character in the book and say, hey, they look like me. They're like me. And that is awesome. That's great. And helps them to own that. And then there are the other kid answers like, you know, I can burp really loud, you know, that the things like that, where the parent says, okay, that's a great answer. Let's talk some more about this. But yeah, it's fun to hear those stories.
Yeah. So let's hear your story. You were born mm-hmm. with, so this was, congenital.
Yes. Yep. Yeah. Congenital amputation or congenital reduction, they call it. Really don't know why. In fact, even if you go to the CDC website and it, you know, has a question about why does this happen, they say, we don't know.
Yeah.
So there are different things that can cause it. There are different ways. And amniotic man syndrome is one thing. That was not what happened to me. The doctors really just don't know. It just stopped growing where it was. And that's just how it came out.
Yeah. And so you have always been this way. You know, mm-hmm. No difference.
Right.
So when the kids were asking you, how do you mm-hmm. tie your shoes or how do you play baseball.
Right.
It's just how you learned.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I have, you know, a lot of parents, and it's great. I'm honored to be a person who's a resource. And so parents will ask me, you know, how do you do this, or how should I show them how to do this? How did you learn how to do this? And really, I say, well, how did you learn how to do it? you do, and someone might help to teach you, but for the most part, you know, as kids are growing up, they figure out how to do things on their own, and that's really what I encourage parents to do, is allow their kids to figure it out. It can be hard as a parent to watch your child struggling with trying to figure out, you know, like for me, cutting a steak. That's a challenge. Like, you might think of that and say, wow, how does he do that? And it sometimes it looks a little awkward, and sometimes it's, you know, but I learned how to do it, and I'm able to do it just fine. But it's one of those things where I was allowed as a kid to learn how to do things my way. And I think that's so important for kids to be able to struggle with that and get to a point where they have figured out their way of doing it.
And Ryan, I'm watching you as you are speaking, and yeah. you speak with your hands.
Yeah,
I do. and your elbow.
Yeah.
I mean, you will make a point by patting your hand to your. Yeah. So it is. It is your. Your one hand. I mean, do you consider that a left hand?
That's
Not
a
really?
Good question. I don't know that I consider it. A hand, but I'll still say, you know, I'm going to go wash my hands, you know, because that's just what you say. and if I think of it, I'll say, oh, my hand. Okay, I get it. But yeah, it's definitely a part of me. You know, we had kind of discussed before this about a few years I had broken my shorter arm. And I'm glad that it was that arm and not my other arm, because that would have been a major problem. But when I went to the emergency room, they had me go to the other, to the clinic, to the orthopedic to find out. The only question he asked me was, do you use your elbow? And I thought, of course. Yeah. Yes, I use my elbow. And what if I had said no? What then?
What's the alternative?
What would you have done?
Yeah.
And so that was, yeah. So it's definitely something. It's a vital part of me. And I use it all the time. But I don't, I kind of compare it to, you know, for yourself, you don't really think about using both of your hands. You just do it.
Yeah.
You know? And so for me, I don't think about using it, but I just do.
Yeah. You had a bottle of water as you were in the lobby waiting to come on the air, and when I greeted you, I did look to see if your right hand was free, and to shake your hand. Mm-hmm. But I mean, you have to think about that to some extent, or maybe that's instinctual too.
Yeah, I think it's instinctual. I think it's, you know, any person really, if you have two hands and you have something in the hand that you shake with, you're going to put it in the other hand. So for me, it's instead of the other hand, it's kind of in the crook of my of my elbow and against my chest and, you know, wherever it happens to be.
So how did you feel about yourself when growing up?
Sure. That's a good question, because I never thought about it growing up. I had a very supportive family, very supportive friends. I grew up here in Madison. I went to Crestwood Elementary School. Had a fantastic experience. I don't recall ever being made fun of. I don't recall ever being, made to feel like an outcast. It just went really well, which is interesting. When I started the website in December of 2011. Before that, I never thought about my arm at all. I'd make jokes because that's kind of what I do, but I never really thought, oh, there are other people out there who are like me. And so I didn't even know when I started it, what are the questions? What are people concerned with? What are the struggles? What can I help with? I'd actually research that and find out, you know, go to message boards and find out what are kids dealing with that I didn't deal with. And I really feel like for me, you know, part of it, I think, is just how I was made. And a lot of it, though, I think was, you know, my parents and my family and friends who, to a person, I've asked them, they said, hey, it wasn't a big deal to you, so it wasn't a big deal to us.
Yeah, interesting. So how did your parents address the fact that you were missing a portion of your arm?
I mean, I did have a prosthetic arm growing up.
I was wondering why you don't use one.
Yeah,
now.
I don't. You know, I had one up until about, I think it was 6th or 7th grade. I had a myoelectric arm. I went to Shriners, and I had one of the hook arms as well that, you know, used body motion and that sort of thing. And it was fine, but for me, it was just more cumbersome. And I wasn't, I wasn't concerned aesthetically. I didn't care, you know, that it made me appear to have two arms. I didn't care about that. And honestly, I just wanted to run around and play. And so it wasn't something that, and I knew how to do what I needed to do anyway. So for me, it just was something that I didn't need. And I know a lot of people, it's really helpful. For me, it just wasn't as, it was more cumbersome than it was helpful. But, yeah, my parents, you know, they were great. They encouraged me to do anything that I wanted to do. I played baseball, and of course I was the pitcher because why wouldn't I be, you know? And they just allowed me to do anything any other kid would do. And didn't make a big deal about it.
Do you feel that it limited you in any way?
No. I think my instinctual answer is no, it didn't limit me in any way. I think all of us have, honestly, I feel like I was probably limited in other ways more than I was by my hand. And what I mean by that is, you know, just your physical appearance, or, you know, I was more concerned with it, if my hair looked cool, yeah. than my arm. You know, it's typical teenage stuff.
Yeah. And you don't, I wanted to say, do you feel your disability limited you in any way? Sure. You don't look at this as a disability.
No, I don't view it as a disability. And I realize, I'm aware of the fact that I am a very healthy person. I don't have an illness. I don't have a disease. I don't have, it's not a debilitating, situation. There are a lot of people who have it way harder than I do. And so I don't want to diminish that fact. But for me, I've been able to do whatever I wanted to do, because of it. There are little things. In fact, I was just out in Portland, and on the flight back, I was sitting in the row right ahead of the exit row. And the plane was full, and the guy behind me asked, you know, hey, could I switch with you so that I could sit next to my girlfriend? And before I could say anything, the stewardess jumped in and said to him, oh, he can't sit there. And I was like, I've sat in the exit row before. And so
she thought that you couldn't perform duties.
Exactly. So I was kind of caught off guard, and I just let it be. And so she came back later, and I said, did I hear you right that I can't sit in the exit row? She said, oh, yeah, no offense. And I was just like, well, I mean, kind of. That's not really your place to say. But, it wasn't – I let it go. I mean, I get that they have rules and stuff like that. But there are situations like that that come up that, for me, I'm at a point in my life where it's not ideal, and I could probably fight for that and say, I can do it just as well as anybody can do it. I deserve to sit there too. But it's something where I allowed that to kind of roll off my back.
We are talking with Ryan Hack. He is the author of the children's book, Different is Awesome. He was born missing his left forearm and hand, and he blogs about his experience and the limb different community at livingonehanded.com. And we welcome your questions or your experiences, or perhaps you also have a child who is missing a limb, or what has your experience been? 1-800-642-1234. Do you or a loved one have a condition that others may view as a disability? Do you agree? What questions do you have for Ryan about teaching children to accept others as perfect just the way they are? What difference do you have that is awesome? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, talking with Ryan Hack, who is the author of the children's book, Different is Awesome. He blogs about his experience living without his left forearm and hand. He was born missing his left forearm and hand on his blog, livingonehanded.com. And we welcome your questions and your experiences. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our first caller is Katie in Clinton. Hello, Katie.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This is such a wonderful show. Thank you, Mr. Hack, for coming on and for writing the book. I have a son who was born with a mitten hand, and the Shriners gave him two fingers. From the day he was born, the nurses didn't know how to talk to me at first. Mm-hmm. I had a couple of them that literally freaked out.
Yeah.
And I finally had to look at them and said, you know what? I feel very blessed that God gave me, you know, entrusted me with a child like this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Clay, actually, right now, he's in at the high school. He'll be a freshman in high school. He's lifting. We figure out how to do things. In order to get him to lift, we got him a weightlifting strap, and he just wraps it around the bar, and he's able to do it.
Yeah.
He plays football. He plays softball. Matter of fact, he's a great outfielder. To this day, we have people that have no clue that he's only got two fingers.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, to watch him play baseball, he's out in the outfield. He'll reach up and he'll grab the ball, and then all of a sudden you see the mitt go flying,
yep.
And the ball comes flying in. Because that's, and I had a parent just rant and rave, and I looked at him, and before I said anything, one of our friends turned around and said, take a look at the kid. He's only got two fingers.
That's happened to me also. I was out in the outfield, and ball went over my head, so I threw my glove down because I had to use my hand to get the ball. And
yep.
I came in, and everyone's like, oh, you were so angry. I was like, no, I needed my hand. I just had to get the glove off. So I've been there.
What you said about just letting the kids learn,
mm-hmm.
One of the main things that we found out with Clay is if I stepped out of the way, if I put the tools in front of him, if I gave him the time,
mm-hmm.
If I showed him different ways and then got out of his way, he learned.
Yeah.
You know, how to zip up your pants took a little bit longer. How to tie your shoe took a little bit longer. Until he got a little bit bigger and his other hand grew a little bit more and he could figure it out.
Yeah.
It took him years to learn how to do the monkey bar and lots of blisters because he had to wait until the left hand grew a little bit more and he could actually make a hook.
Sure.
It just, these kids, they don't, like you said, you don't know any different.
Yeah.
You just do. And for the adults, we just got to get out of their way.
Yeah,
that's
so
pretty
well said.
It's inspiring. It's
really, yeah, it's really well
said. Got to bring Clay on your book tour with you,
yeah,
Ryan.
That'd be great.
and that's the kids will learn and just let the kids be themselves.
Yeah. No, I think that's, you know, I'm a parent of three kids. I'll have all of their limbs.
Yeah.
And it's hard for me to get out of their way. You know, exactly what she said, that as a parent, we just have this instinct to help them and to make it as easy as possible. We don't want to see our kids struggle. But what she said is so true, that, you know, allow your kid to figure it out and they're going to be that much better off for it.
Katie, thanks very much for sharing,
Katie,
your story. Here's another Katie in Madison. Hi, Katie.
Hi.
Hi, Katie.
Katie number two.
Yeah, I just wanted to talk about my friend in college. He was actually the boyfriend of a roommate I had in college, and he was missing his right hand and had maybe 4 inches of a forearm. And he was studying engineering, which I thought was interesting because I can't really separate the fact that he spent his childhood, like you mentioned, figuring things out on his own, figuring his own way out to do things. And then he had such a strong interest in physics and engineering. I think that's interesting in and of itself. But also I just wanted to say that, you know, if we had any kind of repair around the house, or he also worked on bicycles, if we had any, you know, trouble with our bicycles or anything that you mm-hmm. would call your boyfriend to come and fix, we would call him to come and fix it. I mean, and
I
I'm sure that. that there are other situations where, you know, given their particular situation, that it may be limiting in some ways, but at least in his case, and I'm sure for many others, I cannot think of one mm-hmm. single thing that he was unable to accomplish.
Yeah, I'm wondering.
And it was very inspiring to see.
Yeah, I'm wondering for you, when he did those things, like when you called him and asked him to fix things, did you ever think about that? Or was he was the guy and we called him as a friend and he came and did stuff? Because I know, like for me, a lot of people will say, oh, that's so inspiring that you do that. But most of my friends never think about that. You know?
I mean, yeah, maybe like the first one or two times. But after that, it was clear that he could do anything.
Yeah.
So
yep.
It really made no difference.
Yeah, that's
cool.
And
I also wanted, if it's okay, I want to mention another friend.
Okay.
Who I played in the orchestra in college, and she was the first chair violinist in the orchestra and the most accomplished violinist at our university. And her right hand, her bow hand, she had a fully functioning thumb and index finger, and the other fingers and the rest of the hand were deformed or disabled in kind of what seemed to be a limiting way. Mm-hmm. But, you know, her accounts of how she learned to play the violin as a child and really progressed in that were that she, again, like you said, she found her own way. And
yeah.
I just think that that's really a big lesson for people with any type of body, that it's important to work with what possibilities you have and that you can go a really long way with those.
Yeah. Oh, wonderful. Thank you, Katie. I mean, and you don't... I guess it's that is inspiring. I mean, I can't play the violin worth a lick, and
right.
here someone is a talented violinist
right.
with just a thumb and a forefinger.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So
yeah, it's I play piano, and some of my best friends forget that I have one hand. So I'll be at my friend Chad, actually, I was at his house or at his parents' house one time playing piano, and they had this big grand piano, it was beautiful, and just playing that. And then I hear him from the other room. Is that you, Hack? How are you doing that? And he runs out. I've known him forever. But it's still one of those things where every once in a while, it's like, wait a second. How is he doing that?
Well, and let me, so just with the one hand you're able to, or are you using your...
Yeah, so I obviously play mostly with my right hand, but then my left elbow, I'm trying to think of how to describe this. So the bone actually stops probably a couple inches from the elbow. And it's in such a place that I can actually use that
for
to play
keys.
The keys, you know, on the left side.
Interesting.
So I can do the kind of the bass lines.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. I'd like to. I love that when Katie said she would call this friend just like you would call any boyfriend to fix stuff.
Right, I heard that too. I was like, I feel like I maybe called my girlfriend sometimes to do some things.
Now, did you say that your friends at first might think, "Gosh, we can't call Ryan because he, you know, he might not be able to help on this"? But
I don't think any of my friends would think that way. I think what she was saying, kind of that initial meeting. I think people don't really know what to do. They don't really know what to expect. I mean, I play baseball also, and I would fill in sometimes on friends' softball teams. And my first at bat, without fail, I would always get a hit because no one knew what to do. Like, I would just be, you know, I'm up to bat. They're just standing there like, okay, do I, you know, can you do this? Right. And so, I get a base hit. And then after that, every at bat after that was more of a struggle because they're like, oh, okay,
he knows how to play.
Yeah. So yeah, it's one of those things where it's like I'm put at an initial advantage because people are not quite sure what to do.
Yeah.
But
what did you think of Katie's theory that because her college friend had to figure things out that he had an engineer's brain and that why he went into that?
Yeah, I don't think that's a general truth, I guess, but I can definitely see where that would be true, especially someone who's already kind of tends toward that direction with, you know, fixing things or figuring out how they work. You know, like I loved playing with Legos when I was a kid, and so yeah, I love figuring out how things work also. So I could see how that would be a strength for someone for sure.
Ryan Hack is our guest. He is the author of Different is Awesome, which is a children's book, which describes a true life experience when his brother brought him to school as the subject of show and tell.
That's right.
and it's the questions that children might ask about someone who is missing his left forearm and hand. He was born that way. He blogs about his experience and the limb different community at livingonehanded.com. Is that your term, the limb different community?
It's not really my term, honestly. So if I would have been sitting here in November of 2011, I would have been clueless to what that term even meant. I didn't know what I was called, congenital amputation. I had no idea. I had never thought about that stuff. And so really, in fact, what happened was I was eating at Culver's in Verona, and there was a woman there with a little boy who had an arm like mine, came up to me and was just kind of looked at us like, you guys are the same. And you know, just had that look in her eye. And I was like, you're going to be fine, you know, talk to them. And that really was the moment where I was like, huh, there are other people out there who are like me. And I feel like I could help somehow, which is why I started the website. And I, you know, I make videos about how I do things. So I have videos showing how I zip a coat, how I tie my shoes, how I shoot a basketball, things like that, just showing how I do things, but then also sharing, you know, my thoughts on how to deal with being stared at, or my thoughts on prosthetics and, you know, things like that, that are interesting to that world. And so, yeah, so the limb different community, that term is something that's still relatively new for me as well. But it's been it's been amazing to become part of that community and to realize how broad it is. I mean, the numbers are really 4 out of 10,000 babies every year are born with upper limb differences. So about 1,500 babies every year. So that's the way I kind of describe it, is it's a lot. It's not too much, but it might be a little more than you think. Because I bet we could all think of someone, you know, like she was saying, oh, I had a friend who had a friend, or yeah, I knew a guy at my bank, or, you know, somebody knows somebody.
And so, is it, are you blogging for only those who were born missing a limb?
No, really. I mean, I would say that that's probably my core audience, just because it's who I relate to the most, or I mean, they relate to me the most. And so I definitely try to share my perspective with that. But also, it's just, you know, a lot of the things I write about are just life things, you know, whether it's, you know, the one caller was talking about how her son adapted for being able to lift in the gym. And I've been sharing some of my health journey recently as well. And those are things that, you know, that's an adaptable thing. So when I go to the gym, I do have to think about, okay, how am I going to use these machines? And I've made some videos before showing how I've adapted certain things.
I guess what I was also getting at is there are a lot of people, I presume, who will lose a limb in an accident or in war. I mean, it's different.
It is, yeah. It's different in the same. I'll be honest and say that people have told me, you know, oh, you should go to the VA hospital and talk to folks there. And I have to admit, I'm a bit intimidated to do that, because it is a totally different thing to have both hands for 25 years and then suddenly you don't, and you have to relearn everything. And it's a traumatic thing. And that's not what I went through. That's not my experience at all. And yet I have people reach out to me all the time who have either a paralyzed arm or lost an arm, or I'm having surgery, and they want advice. And I can do that. And so I definitely can speak into that situation as far as trying to give them hope, let them know that things will, you know, they'll be able to figure it out. There are ways to do it. And just give them that inspiration to be able to figure it out.
Let's take a call from Beatrice in Rhinelander. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, what is your story?
Ryan, I'm so intrigued with your book. Our son had severe epilepsy most of his life. And when he is in fourth grade at our lovely Pine Lake School near us, his teacher, Judy Martin, first day of class, she talked to the class about her asthma, and she said, maybe all of you have something different going on in your life. And she went through each child, and so when they got to David with his seizures, why, he just mentioned his epilepsy, and she said, you know, what should we do when you have a seizure? Mm-hmm. And then they went on. Some of them wore glasses, and some of them had hearing aids, and she said, I learned a lot of things also. Yeah. But your book reminded me of how she dealt with that situation, and it's just so fascinating.
Yeah, that's great. That's so good to hear. I love when I hear that teachers are able to, and I hope this will be a tool for them also to get that conversation going, because it is always one of those things where if you have you know, maybe the most noticeable difference in the class, you might feel, you know, embarrassed or shy, or, you know, you're not sure what to do. So it's huge that a teacher would take that opportunity to, first of all, self-identify as being different, and then help all of the other kids to say, oh, yeah, what makes us different? You know, so we're, while we're all different, that's a similarity that we all share. So that's a great story to hear. Thanks for sharing that.
Yes, thanks a lot, Beatrice. A listener on Facebook says, firstly, when talking with children, I don't use the term disabled, but differently abled. Mm-hmm. Is that the term you like to use too? Or
yeah, there are a lot of ways to use words, and I'm a huge fan of words, obviously. I'm a writer. I think it's one of those things. I think differently abled is a really good way to put it, because it's true. You know, I do things differently, and that's one of the things in the book. One of the pages, it says, you know, I can do that. I just do it a little bit differently than you do. So I think it's a perfect word for how I'm able to do things, for sure.
Let's take a call next from Janet in Whitewater. Hello, Janet.
Hi, Janet.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. I wanted to mention I have a niece who is now 23 who has a limb difference as well. She has one hand, and then the other arm is about the length to the elbow, maybe a little bit past, but no joint, and then has one digit. And she's amazing. She does absolutely anything and everything. She played volleyball, obviously soccer.
Right.
It'd be very easy with two legs. She also did gymnastics. And
sure.
She was nominated for an ESPY award and actually went out on the red carpet down out in LA a couple years ago.
Yeah, that's really cool.
She can do absolutely everything. But what I wanted to mention is she is a counselor at a camp in Illinois, which happens every summer. I think it's only been around for, I don't know, maybe 4 years. It's called nubability.org,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
N-U-B-A-B-I-L-I-T-Y. And kids from all over the country go there, and they teach them different sports.
Yep. Yeah, I'm actually friends with Jana and Sam, who are in charge of that. I sent them a box of books for the camp, so there are going to be some different awesome books there this coming
week.
Oh,
weekend. Good. Maybe Nolan A. I don't know if he's ever been to the camp. So,
yeah, they're awesome.
It's just it's a wonderful organization, and I wanted to mention that. And she's studying recreational therapy so that she can teach people with limb differences.
Yeah, that's awesome.
How to handle their new changes. So.
And Janet, I just want to ask you this because my producer wrote the word nub ability.
Mm-hmm.
You're
laughing too, Ryan. Is that what do you use that?
I don't call my arm a nub, but I know that some people do. What I have found is everyone kind of calls it something different. So there isn't like one flat term. A lot of kids, I just met some kids while I was in Portland who named theirs. So one of them, I can't remember, I think he called it Henry or something like that. So there's a lot of different ways to go about it, for sure.
Thank you very much, Jen.
Yeah, my niece has named hers as well.
Yeah, there you go.
Thank you very much, Janet. We are talking about living one-handed. We're talking about differences. We're talking about children and being differently abled. Maybe you. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Ryan Hack, who was born missing his left forearm and hand. He blogs about his experience in the limb different community at livingonehanded.com. And he is the author of the children's book, Different is Awesome. And we welcome your questions and experiences for him. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking with a Madison man who is the author of the children's book, Different is Awesome. His message is that everyone is valuable just the way they are, and that differences are awesome. What questions do you have? What experiences would you like to share? Are you missing a limb? What has your experience been? Do you have a condition that others might think of as a disability? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. So, Ryan, when you talk to children, do you still go there for show and tell?
In a way, I suppose I do.
Yeah. How do you, what's your message to them about being perfect just the way they are?
Yeah, you know, I love going to schools. You know, I go to a lot of elementary schools and get to talk to the kids. And there are kind of two things that I try to help them with. One is help them know how to interact with people who are different than them. You know, most of the interaction that we see, you know, as parents, if our kid starts noticing someone, a lot of times you'll see them kind of muzzled, you know, grabbed away, shh, don't point, don't talk about it. And I would much rather see parents engage their children in that curiosity and teach them how to appropriately interact with people who are different than them. So I try to tell kids, you know, I have a big poster board that's just white and I have a red dot in the corner, and I tell them, tell me what you notice when I flip this over. So I flip it over, and of course they all scream, oh, the red dot. And I say, why? Well, because it's the only thing different. And I try to help them understand that's normal. That's an appropriate reaction to notice something that's different. But then what do we do next? You know, engage the person and ask them normal questions about what they like to do, become friends with them. And so that's a huge part of what I try to do is help them know how to interact. But then also I want to tell them that they are valuable. You know, I tell them, you know, if someone breaks into your house and they're going to steal something, what do they steal? You know, they don't steal a gallon of milk. They don't steal, you know, a piece of paper. They steal the things that are valuable, the expensive things. And so, you know, to try to teach them what that word means, that you are worth something, you're valuable. And I don't know, you know, when I'm standing up in front of all these kids, I don't know what their home situation is. I don't know how they've grown up. I don't know what their parents tell them. Or even if they're with their parents, I don't know. So it's a joy for me to be able to be up there and say, whoever you are, whatever you're like, whatever your difference is, you're valuable just the way that you are. And I think the more we realize that, and the more kids realize that, then they'll treat each other that way as well. So it kind of, you know, I think it's not really a anti-bullying message, but it helps, I think, in that way, because when we view ourselves as valuable and we view others as valuable, we're going to treat them that way.
Somebody who went to one of your book signings, who and his child was very impressed, and I do not believe that his child is missing his arm or hand, yeah. But he was so impressed that he did put his arm in his shirt to look like he just had one arm.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's very good. Yep. Yeah, that's actually my good friend Chad, his son Kellen. Who is fascinated by me. That's one funny thing about kids. Every time I see him, and I see him quite a bit, I mean, and I'll go over there, and he notices my arm every time and will ask me every time, what happened? And I know he knows, but it's just one of those things. As a kid, you see it, and you're like, oh, what happened? Oh, yeah, that happened. And then he's okay with it. And so, yeah, it's funny to see him try to act like me.
Well, what advice do you have for those of us who have two arms? How should we interact? How should we? Is it okay to ask those questions that a child would ask?
Right, that's a really good question. I would say, for the most part, and I can't speak for everyone because I know some people don't want to deal with it. But I think for the most part, if you're curious, asking, "Hey, is it all right if I ask you about your arm?" I think it's totally fine. For me, I would much rather people ask me about it because I'm not shy about talking my situation. But I think for the most part, just treating someone like you would treat anyone else. You know, I have people asking to do things for me all the time. I used to be kind of like, I don't know, I can do it. Don't treat me like that. I can do whatever. And now I'm kind of like, people are just trying to help. I realize that, you know, so like when I'm on a plane getting my luggage out of the overhead thing, without fail, someone, oh, let me grab that for you. And sometimes I'll let them. Sometimes I'll say, oh, I've got it. That's fine. I think as long as your intention is, I just want to be helpful, for me, I'm good with that. I get that you're trying to be helpful and that you might not know exactly what to do. But for the most part, I'd say treat them just like you would treat anyone else. And if you're curious, I don't think it's a problem to ask questions at all.
Let's take another call from Tim in Eau Claire. Hello, Tim.
Hi. I was raised by my father only has one arm. Lost it well before I was ever born. And he has a great sense of humor about it. He has a couple T-shirts that I think you might find amusing. One says, "Yes, I am the drummer from Def Leppard."
Nice.
And the other one just has a slot machine front on the front of it.
Nice.
One-arm bandit. I get that, but I don't get the Def Leppard drummer. Why?
He lost his arm and continued being a drummer for Def Leppard.
Yep. I see. Okay. Yep.
That's good. I actually have some shirts also that say, "In case you were wondering." And then they have different things like shark attack, bear attack, chainsaw accident. So they're on the edge. But yes, I love having a good time with it too. Those are great shirts.
And I had a pottery teacher this last semester, actually. I'm 30, but I'm going back to school. And I had a pottery teacher identify. She asked me, "I have a weird question for you. Were you raised by somebody with one arm?"
Hmm.
And I said, "Yeah, how did you know?" And she said, "I noticed you do a lot of two-handed things with one hand, and that many times you do multiple two-handed things with one hand each."
Huh.
So I might be doing something with my left hand that somebody would typically do with two hands.
Yeah, right.
And I might be doing something with my right hand at the same time that somebody would also be doing with two hands.
Interesting. Do you think that you're teaching your children different ways to do things, Ryan?
You know, I don't really ever think about that, but I am curious. I mean, I'm curious when they're Tim's age, what they'll be like, what they'll say, if it will be something that's noticeable. Right now, I don't think that it is, but it may be without me knowing it, you know, so I'm curious about that for sure.
But Tim, I imagine that your dad's sense of humor went a long way.
Yeah, definitely went a long way, even to the point when they offered, his doctor offered him a disability thing for his car. He looked at the doctor and said, "Why? I have two good legs."
Yeah, yeah. I've thought that too. I've had people ask me that before, like, "Oh, why don't you have a handicap?" It's like, why would I have a handicap? Like, I can walk perfectly fine. Like, I don't know why I would need that. That didn't really come into the equation for me.
Interesting. Thank you very much, Tim.
Mm-hmm.
That was a great story. Do you think you've been joking throughout the hour, and you have a great sense of humor? Do you think that is related to your condition?
Wow, that's a really good question too. I think my family is just a bunch of jokers. We have a good sense of humor. And so I think for me, it's definitely, I would have had that regardless. But it definitely gives me a leg up, but I feel like I should say like an arm up, or, you know, there's gotta be a joke in there somewhere. But yeah, I definitely use it to my advantage, probably too much, probably gets overdone at times. I know my wife would probably tell you, yes, he jokes about it probably more than he should.
Well, you know what? Your stepdad, Mike, called in.
Oh, nice.
To say that all of the challenges and struggles that you have faced and that you have been talking about have made you the determined and patient person that you are today.
That's awesome.
Do you agree?
I think so. Yeah, I think there's definitely an element to it. And thanks, Mike. Love you. I definitely think there's an element to that. And it's not even so much a conscious thing where I'm thinking like, oh, I am this way because of this. But I think anytime any of us go through something that presents challenges, even if we don't maybe view them that way, that it does shape us. And so I think there is definitely an element to that in my life, that even though I didn't really view my childhood or my upbringing as being challenging, I think it was, and it shaped me to be who I am today.
Let's go next to David in Watertown. Hi, David.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Great show. Just a question. Among non-disabled people, when we're talking about people with disabilities, it seems like there's this growing tendency to describe kind of normal or day-to-day activities and then kind of elevate them to almost a superhuman or heroic act because they're being done by people who have disabilities. Or there's stuff that floats around on the internet like Facebook and things that are pictures of people with disabilities who are running or working or just doing something worthwhile, and mm-hmm. the message, you know, sometimes just literally printed right there is sort of what's your excuse.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
It's like it almost feels like we use this disability experience either for kind of to inspire us or to shame us, but whatever, kind of for our own purposes.
Yeah.
I mean, it feels kind of creepy, and I'm just wondering if that, does that affect you? Does it, are you indifferent toward it, or are you bothered by it? Or does it, what effect does that have?
Yeah, David, that's a really good question. And it's something, some people, they call it inspiration porn sometimes. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, where exactly what you're saying, where it's kind of co-opting someone else's, you know, there's a famous picture of a little boy who has two prosthetic legs running with that on it. What's your excuse? You know, and it's essentially, I get the intent that it's, you know, oh, here I am with all of my limbs and I'm just sitting on the couch eating potato chips and this person has, you know, this struggle and they're doing it. So I understand the intent, but you're totally right that it is taking something and saying, oh, you know, kind of poor to them and wow, they must be amazing to be able to do that. And I'm a schlub because I'm not. So for me personally, I don't know that I'm offended by it. I don't know that I'm upset about it, but I get where you're coming from for sure. And I do, you know, I know people who say, you know, don't congratulate me for tying my shoes, you know, but for me, I realize completely that a parent who has a kid with a limb difference, who doesn't know what's going to happen with their kid or what they're going to be able to do, is able to see me tie my shoes and think it's amazing because they say, oh my gosh, that's amazing. My kid will be able to do that. But you're right. For people who have all of their limbs or something, using that as inspiration. Yeah, it's on the line, I think.
Yeah, and we're running short of time, but I wanted to mention that you told my producer about a character that's in the current movie Mad Max Fury Road, who is missing a limb.
Right.
And what do you think of the portrayal of that?
Yeah, I mean, I loved it. I saw Mad Max Fury Road, and one of the, basically the main character, Charlize Theron, she has one arm, and she has a prosthetic, you know, this old, you know, steampunk prosthetic arm. But what I loved about it is they never talked about it. The entire movie, it was never a focal point. It was never a plot point. It was just the way that she was. You don't know how she lost it. You don't know when she lost it. You don't know where she got the arm or anything. So I thought it was really cool the way that they did that, and they just allowed it to be a part of her and not make it some more than it was.
Well, we just have a minute to go. What is the takeaway that you want listeners to take away from this program or readers to take away from your book?
Yeah, well, I mean, I hope that people are you know, again, that they understand we're all valuable the way that we are. Whatever makes you different, I believe, does make you awesome. And so my challenge really, you know, to kids, to adults, to anybody, take a look and say, you know, maybe that thing that makes me different that I've been upset about or embarrassed by, maybe I can embrace that and maybe I can make that a positive thing. And I know I don't want to indicate that that's not hard. I realize that for a lot of people, that's a really difficult thing. But I think it's a worthwhile thing to do.
Thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Joy.
Ryan Hack, author of Different is Awesome. He blogs at the website livingonehanded.com. Thanks to Judith Sears-Poisson and to Kayla Blado for producing and directing this program. Thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. Much more to come. Tomorrow at this time, we'll talk with the author of Edible Memory, The Lure of Heirloom Tomatoes and Other Forgotten Foods. That's tomorrow at this time. I'm Joy Cardine. This is The Ideas Network.